One of the other things that's happening tomorrow is the opportunity for you to find out more about your convict ancestry. Jeanette Pelosi is going to be in Newcastle from State Records, and I caught up with her a short time ago. Jeanette, thanks very much for coming in. I reckon you must have one of the best jobs in New South Wales.
I think it's a great job working in the archives.
How did you end up as an archivist for the state?
I really got into it because I was interested in my own family history and started doing my own research, so ended up working there. It is great.
Now, you're in Newcastle because you've got a whole lot of things to do over the next couple of days, but one of those is for people to come and see you and learn about finding out more about their convict ancestry.
That's right. I'm speaking at the Newcastle Region Library tomorrow at 10:30 at the Lovett Gallery, and please do contact the library to book if you would like to come along. And I'll give you the number later. We are speaking about convict records, but particularly the very earliest convict records from 1788 to 1801.
Now, as a keen family historian who's been sniffing around this stuff myself for the last 25 years, access over, particularly over the last decade, to information and to records has become so much easier. And that's what you're alluding to there, is that ongoing work of digitising records.
That's right. We've digitised these earliest of convict records going right back to the First Fleet, and we put them up on our website free for anybody to use. And that's our gift to the people of Australia and the world for the 225th anniversary of the arrival of the First Fleet.
And it's wonderful that you're doing it. There are so many archives now that are available online, but for the vast majority of them, I guess you have to pay.
Yes, this is a free site, the State Records site, which is records.nsw.gov.au. So anybody can go on, have a look at our convict records link or our online indexes link, and they'll find what we've called Sentence Beyond the Seas.
Have you got convicts up your tree?
I do. I've actually got a First Fleet convict. I've
do
got a couple
you?
Of convicts in the family, but I have John Nichols, who came on the Scarba in 1788, is my fifth great-grandfather.
And what do you know about him? What have you been able to find out about him?
He ended up getting a grant of land out at Prospect and became quite respectable, had a large family, and there are many, many descendants, and I'm part of the John Nichols Family Society.
So there's quite a group of you who actually...
Yes.
Research and celebrate your
yes,
heritage
yes.
there.
Yes, we've been celebrating since the bicentennial, actually before the society was formed, about 1985, and we're still going.
Isn't it funny? It is not that long ago that admitting that you were a descendant of convicts was not the done thing.
That's true. Attitudes have changed a lot. And nowadays, people are pleased to find a convict because when you did the wrong thing, the government kept a lot of records on you.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that these days it is, even for keen family researchers, that it's hard to understand just how difficult life must have been for them 225 years ago when the Europeans came here and established their own society from nothing?
Yes, I think it was very, very difficult, but it is hard for us to understand that because they really had to bring everything out with them. Now, they didn't have... printing presses and tools unless they actually brought them on the First Fleet with them.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Jeanette Pelosi joins me from State Records here at 1233 ABC Newcastle, and Jeanette will be speaking at Newcastle Library in the Lovett Gallery tomorrow at 10:30, talking about the new guide and the ongoing work with digitising our records, but called Sentence Beyond the Seas, and this is particularly looking at those first few years of settlement in Sydney and beyond a little bit, does it?
Actually, the project includes people that ended up going off to places like Norfolk Island, and even Port Macquarie gets mentioned in the records. So it's not impossible you can find somebody who's actually gone sort of to far-flung parts of New South Wales.
Jeanette, when you're saying that, of course, the government, the authorities at the time were keeping a very close eye on you, what do we have records of?
These particular records are actually the records that were normally sent out with the ship saying what the people's sentences were, where they'd been tried, and the length of their sentences, so that the government here could work out when they were actually due to receive their freedom, if at all, if they had a life sentence. Of course, they wouldn't have. But there are some very interesting annotations and additional documents with these records that actually explain what happened to some of these people after they arrived. So you might get something on a record that says pardoned and gone out of the country. Or you might For some of them, you might get executed. And there are even some that were executed on the voyage out. And all of those names have been put into our new convict index, which is called the Early Convict Index. And it covers all these arrivals from 1788 to 1801. And a lot of the annotations are actually, you can view them in the index as well as on the record themselves.
So how much detail might there be for some people?
It varies greatly. There are some cases where people had actually served their sentence, and then because there was some confusion about their sentence, they then wrote to the governor and asked for time off, basically, because they'd actually served a couple of years extra.
Yeah.
The governor would then write to England and try and get the correct details of their sentence.
And that's going to take a year or two
and
in
that
itself,
takes time.
Isn't it?
That takes time. So some of them actually did serve a lot of extra time. There were only a few of them, but you can find those people in the records.
Have you gradually, Jeanette, and I can only imagine that the answer to this is, of course, a profound yes, but having gone from being interested in your own family history to now working as one of our archivists for our state records, have you fallen in love with other stories that are outside your family?
Oh, definitely. There's so many great stories in these records and in all of the state records for that matter, but I might mention just a couple of them. I mentioned that some of them got executed. Well, one of them was Thomas Barrett, and he'd actually been sent first to America on the Mercury, and there was a uprising on that particular ship. He was one of the mutineers, but he saved the life of a steward and was reprieved and sent to New South Wales instead. He came on the Charlotte. Now, he then, when he arrived here in February 1788, stole some beef and some peas from the stores. And because food was a very short supply
at
that
time. Well, there was famine for the first few years, wasn't
there?
Yeah, there
definitely was. And he was actually found guilty on the 27th of February and was executed. So he didn't last very long, but he is quite notable because he appears to be the man who actually carved the Charlotte Medal, which is held in the Australian National Maritime Museum, which is a lovely silver medal showing the ship Charlotte when it arrived in Botany Bay.
Oh, goodness me.
Mm.
Okay, you've also got a beautiful story about James Squire. Now, increasingly over the last few years, there is a brand of beer which has become more popular in Australia, but your research has suggested that the early beginnings of this are a bit shady.
Well, James Squires actually came out on the first fleet, on the Charlotte, in fact, and he then served his sentence. He started cultivating hops and built the first brewery in New South Wales and opened the Malting Shovel Tavern at Kissing Point, which is the right area of Sydney. And he founded the James Squire Brewery, which is still going today.
Has it continued to operate all that time, or is what we know as James Squire these days a whole new incarnation?
I think it has actually operated all of that time, but you need to speak to the company about that.
Good Lord.
But one of the things, the little facts about James that I quite like, was on the 14th of March of 1806, he presented two vines of hops to the governor, and in return he received the gift of a cow.
Oh, precious.
Yeah.
Mind you, it would have been then, wouldn't it?
It was then. That was quite a gift.
Yeah.
So it shows you how important the hops were.
Jeanette Pelosi joining us from State Records here at 1233 ABC Newcastle. Jeanette will be at Newcastle Library speaking in the Lovett Gallery from 10:30 tomorrow. You need to book with the library too, because I imagine it's going to be chock-a-block. But we'll give you all those details in just a moment. Have you got another story you can share with us, Jeanette?
Yes, there are a lot of women that came out on the First Fleet, and among them were Elizabeth Dalton and Mary Parker. Now, some of you might not know Mary Parker, but you might have heard of John Small. And the John Small family is one of the largest family history societies or First Fleet families in Australia. And Mary Parker was his wife.
Oh, goodness me.
Yes. And also Elizabeth Dalton, she married Assistant Surgeon Thomas Arundel. And again, there's a large First Fleet family in Australia.
Gee, the mind boggles, doesn't it, to think about how many Australians would actually now be descended from First Fleeters? Have we got any idea?
I don't personally have any idea, but it is a huge number.
It's got to be enormous, hasn't it?
Yes, and of course there's the Fellowship of First Fleeters where a lot of those people can come together.
Yeah, yeah. Jeanette, do you have suspicions that there is still a lot of information, that there is a secret archive somewhere, that there were books, documents, something in a roof, in a basement somewhere that will tell even more of our early colonial story?
I think there's quite a lot of records, but probably most of them have surfaced now. Yeah. We've certainly made accessible all the convict records that we hold in our collection. It's not impossible. Things are in private hands. That does occur on occasion. I've seen private records returned, even just last year, some records from the Planter and the Eliza were returned. That's from 1813 and 1832.
And a family has hung on to that all this time.
Yeah, that was in a private collector's hands and it's now been returned to State Records.
On the one hand, that's really lovely, and on the other hand, the responsibility of it.
Yes, yeah. I think it's better if the records are with State Records. We do have climate-controlled storage. We have the right sort of conditions to keep these records. We are able to digitise them, put them up on our website. So we're really the key institution for looking after our state government archives.
I often talk to Julie Baird from the museum here in Newcastle about gifts and donations that people make, and sometimes they're things that are significant and important to the collection, and other times maybe not so much but very well intended. With state archives, is the material that you hold all essentially government material, or are there other items that have come in from the public?
Right, we only collect state government records, so occasionally those records over the years have strayed from our collection, and the term for that is estrays. So sometimes we do get back estrays from the public that have had them for many years.
Is this like the library book I didn't return in year 10?
No, we wouldn't take that, I'm sorry. The State Library would take private material often. Yeah. You could contact them if you've got something in that category. But if it's a New South Wales State Government record, such as a telegram for Ned Kelly, which was actually clearly received by the Colonial Secretary, that was a record that we received some years ago.
Hmm. What do you love about your job, Jeanette?
I love the fact that I can go in and I'm still learning. I've been there for over 20 years and I'm still learning new things each day that I go in there, looking at records that I've never looked at before, because we literally have millions of records on our shelves.
Yeah.
So I just find that there's just so much there still to be explored.
And there is public access as well. If people come to see, you've got lots online, but of course there's even more vast quantities of information and records that you have that people can come and see if they come and see you.
That's right. If people come out to our Western Sydney Records Centre, which is out at Kingswood near Penrith, you can get access to all sorts of different government records. It could be things like probate packets, so you can check what your ancestors' assets were. Mm. Also, we have deceased estate files, which often have quite detailed listings of people's assets. And we have quite recently, we've got quite a lot of divorce files, which can certainly add a bit of colour to some families.
Yeah, I bet they can. Jeanette Pelosi joining me from State Records here at 12:33 ABC Newcastle. 10:30 tomorrow at the Lovett Gallery at Newcastle Library. If you would like to go, you can book 4974 5330, or get more information from the library's number, 4974 5330. And if you would like to go and have a look online yourself, records.newsouthwales.gov.au.